Dan, I fixed that, that one wording.
That was fine with all of it.
Okay, and that's a hold, so we'll vote on those. Here's this one, this is all ready.
These are the ones we're going to be approving.
Did you get that check from, Helen? Did she come and do something? I'm going to go and get it. Because that's that one check we held.
Lynn, would you like coffee? Just black, thank you.
Nice
right here.
Well, what I want to make sure is this is the same
check. Oops, sorry. That's what we held. Because we needed supporting bid information, and we still don't have it. That's what this is. So we're going to hold this out, and we'll pass this to whoever facilitated it.
Then we have which one?
I mean, we're withhold it.
We're withholding it. We'll have to list that one specifically.
Do we have to withhold until they're submitted? I don't think we do. If we didn't apply it to the accounts payable, I don't think we would have to withhold it, but it's already been withheld.
Right, yeah, it's not in that. Okay. Yeah, we don't have to withhold it again.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just going to have this run over to the road and bridge and have them support this.
Get supporting documentation on it before we can approve it.
Yep. We'd probably give it to Randy. He'll be here earlier, right? In a little while.
I had a question for you two guys on this deal here. When we have our registry on our checks and all these,
yeah,
it's usually the top one. Could you guys have these other two invoices on?
I haven't gone through it yet, Danny.
Oh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, normally that's
normally the sort that we look at first, but I didn't know whether you had help these out for some of the people.
That was the last. Here's, this is what. I'll just talk about, look, guys, we have a warrant that Helen just brought to my attention that we're prepaying for Christian Associates because of the extension of the HPRP grant. She wanted to point out that we still have yet, the state still owes us $7,900 from the last HPRP grant.
The reason, let me jump in real quick. We knew that, and it was explained to us from Mr. Catron before, the reason that they wanted us to come up front was because they couldn't carry the services because they knew the state was going to be slow in paying, which they were absolutely correct. So the question is, are they going to be slow in paying on this one as well?
Well, she's concerned is if does the money run out at the end of this at the fiscal year and then we lose this money. And suppose we don't get this money, is what the treasurer asked us.
The $7,900.
Because the state, isn't the budget go through the end of June, right? July 1st is the new budget year. Her concern, the treasurer's concern is, suppose we don't get the $7,900, what does that happen? What happens then?
What happens is a number of people that were going to be foreclosed upon are kicked out of their
living places. What do we do with the money?
Kicked out. You mean, where does it come from?
Yeah.
Do we have GCR.
Okay.
But that's our...
Yeah, no, I think we should...
I think we need to do everything to pursue the state to get those funds.
No, I do too. But she just wanted to make us aware.
Does that particular grant have the
I understand.
Dollar amount attached to it? What I'm saying is that the only invoice we're going to get on that, or could we withhold that amount before we pay that check? Are you following me?
Well, there be more money?
Yes.
Maybe, we're not sure. That's the first thing. Second thing is, they've already spent the $7,900 that we gave them, the fronted, they've already spent those services.
That's not what I'm asking.
Will there be another check after this?
Will there be another check?
Or another grant?
Another grant or another check after the one?
After this one? It's unsure. Ken, did you see anything besides that? Anything else there is questionable?
No.
And just so you guys know, within Road and Bridge discussions, that's their meeting, I've requested that we talk. We need to have a conversation about road petitions. I'd like to really think about, you know, we've got money coming back into that account. We can take some roads in. And maybe we come up with a mileage number and we divide it up and we just go that way. But I wanted to have that conversation.
Yeah.
At least start it today.
you gentlemen ready for public comment?
Yep.
I've already smiled at that one this morning.
Oh, shit. I just want to make sure you had more than one smile. All
right. Have you both been through accounts payable?
Sir, yes, sir.
Minutes?
Yep.
Activities? Mr. Strong?
I'm here.
Either you can stand at the podium or sit at the table, whichever you prefer. We are broadcasting live on the internet and recording. This is that portion of our meeting wherein we take public comment. If you'll give your name for the record, we'll begin.
Good morning. My name is Thomas Strum. I'm from Rockaway Beach. I'm on planning and zoning. I'm also did the comprehensive plan for Rockaway Beach. I know that you guys are, people don't realize the powers that the commission has. I do because I read the statutes a lot, and I believe you have a lot more powers than the people tend to give you credit for. I know that you have a lot of committees that come before you, and they do the work for you, and then they bring the proofs of their work to you for approval or disapproval. Well, I have a thing about voting for Rockaway Beach that I'm hoping is within your discretion to make some kind of a decision on it. Years ago, they tried to take the voting privileges out of Rockaway Beach and put them in Merriam Woods. That didn't happen. Well, previous to that, they moved the precinct to precinct number 2 from District 1 and combined it into the City Hall because the church at District 1 was, it had mold in it. And people couldn't breathe, and that was a good decision to move it down to number 2. Well, then a few years later, they decided to move the district over to Merriam Woods for Rockaway Beach, the voting district. And the decision that they set on that was that the city didn't have handicap accessible getting into the City Hall. I was aware of that. At that time, I was mayor of Rockaway, so we invested a huge amount of money making the city handicap accessible, and we had the ADA come down. I had them come down and approve it to have it put in for ADA. Well, now we got our voting cards, and District 2 is still up as the polling place, and just in the past couple of weeks, we've got new cards stating that it's going to be moved again. Now, it's going to be moved off the main street. It's going to be moved 2 blocks back into a metal building that the Bridge of Faith built. My thing is that Rockaway Beach is losing every day businesses. And for our polling place to be in the center of the city, at City Hall, is where it should be. It should be accessible to the voters. People forget when to vote. They drive to work and they go on with their school days or something. They see the sign out in front of City Hall that voting is going on there that day, and there's a flag out there, so they tend to come to vote. People are old down there, so they're not used to change. We've tried and tried and tried to get more and more votes out of that city, and once we get it started, something like this happens, and then people don't go to vote. I want people to vote. I want them to exercise their right. And I feel now what's happening is they're turning their right to vote is being taken away from them in a minor detail. But everything is done in details. And this is what I'm trying to see. If you could persuade the Donna Neely, to see if you could talk to her to put it back into the city of Rockaway Beach. She did say that the reason why they were doing it is because of the sewer gas in the building, in City Hall. I called the EPA and the DNR, and they're coming down really today or Friday to check that out. Now, if there's a problem, you could do it with chemicals, you could do it with traps. There's various ways to stop sewer gas. And if that's all the problem is that, that could be fixed. You don't have to move it out of there. And if you're going to move the people out from voting, why is City Hall there if they can't fix the problem? We've got people in there working on a daily basis. Why is it okay for one person and not for the other? Well, these are my concerns for Rockaway Beach, and I hope that you can address this for us and get some resolution done on this, where we can keep our voting privileges in City Hall, where it should be. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tom. Okay. We're during that portion of our meeting that's public comment, so we can receive comment.
Yeah.
But we don't respond.
I realize you don't respond to it. You listen to it, then you could talk amongst yourselves and see if you could do something about it.
We appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. May I speak?
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think you're on our list. Would you like to sign it? You have 2 minutes. Sorry, we just need to do that.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm Donna Neely. I'm the county clerk. And I believe I've already informed the commission of concerns that I had, not actually at the Rockaway City Hall, but at the community building that is next door to the City Hall. I had several complaints from voters and from election judges, a continued sewer smell in the building. We have asked the parties involved if they could take care of that. It's been going on for some time now, and the complaints have increased. So as I did once before when I had complaints about mold in a building, I addressed those. When the problem was not being resolved, I moved that poll in place, and once again, when I have received continued complaints from the voters and the election judges that are using that polling place that the issue is not being resolved, then I took action and took care of my voters and moved them to a safer location. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Pardon? Right now?
Whenever you're ready. It's 9 o'clock.
Are we ready now? Yeah. I'd like to call to order this meeting of the Taney County Commission, Monday, May 14th, 2012, and call on Helen Soutie for an opening prayer. If everybody will stand. Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Previous meeting minutes.
Motion to approve meeting minutes dated May 7th with corrections and changes.
Second, isn't there one other little set? Whatever. Didn't have hardly anything on it. One other set of minutes.
All I got is the 7th, sir.
That's all I saw.
Okay. I thought I'd...
Was there another in there, Lynn?
No. Just a second.
All right.
It was that loose paper, but that was just...
It was a loose paper on the same minutes.
Yep.
All right.
Did you second?
Yes.
Motion been made and seconded to approve prior commission meeting minutes dated May 7th with changes and corrections. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable, journal entries, and transfers.
Motion to approve accounts payable checks 328997 through 329068. Warrants 5625, 5626, and 5627.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve checks number 328997 through 329068 and warrants 5625, 5626, and 5627. There are no transfers or journal entries. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. Monthly budget report. Mr. Finley?
This is what I send to you on a monthly basis here. I want to give you a chance to ask questions. Before you do, let me just make a couple of notes. We are cash flow-wise, balance is down, GCR, almost $900,000, something like that. But there's several reasons for that. We have $295,000 EPM payment that came out the first part of the year. We had our big bond payment comes out the first part of the year, which is over $1 million. We had some other fairly large payments come out. The animal control comes out one time first of the year. So really, I think probably looking at that way, if you look at those things, I think we're still in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to point that out to you and give you some information about that. Looking through the departments, I didn't see anything that really caught my attention there. We did spend more with animal control than what we had planned to because of the contract there. But other than that, it's not anything that's really catches my eye. Do you guys have any questions?
I was looking at the animal control. We originally approved the budget at a certain level, and then we paid the renegotiated mm-hmm. level. So that's mm-hmm. why we're over on that one, mm-hmm. if anybody was going to look at this. Everything else, we're in the 30 percentile range, which is about where
pretty close, yeah.
Yeah.
If you notice, see the law enforcement, that shows that we pay the big bond payment out first. That bond payment comes out of there. The bond payment comes out of there is a smaller one.
Right. So yeah. Other than that, everything looked in line.
Other than the animal control one, there's nothing that's out of the line as far as budget-wise, right?
Not that I noticed right offhand, anyhow. You know, there's so much to it, it's hard to say there's nothing, but yeah, I don't see anything jumps at me.
Nothing unexplainable, let's put it that way.
Question for you.
Okay.
The current Branson TIF payments that we're making and the withholdings that were based upon collections rather than on monies received and the difference therein, and I know that you have sent me an email and some correspondence on that, but if you would refresh my memory, what is that costing us overall on a monthly basis, that difference? Not costing it, because we're actually...
Right. Right now, we are not paying that. It's about $1,800 a month is what it averaged over the... We started doing that differently in May of last year, I think. Right. I'm going from memory, so, you know. But it averages out to just right around $1,800 per month, the difference.
You made the change in May of last year. I thought it was later than that, Greg.
No,
Danny, I thought it was too, but when I got back and looking, it did happen in May.
In May. Mm-hmm. I thought the discussion about it was in maybe early May or June, but I thought it was later that was started.
I'm with you. Of course, time flies. We're having fun, huh?
Because we had the discussion, you have already been recalculating?
I have recalculated. That's what that spreadsheet was, Ron. Okay. I just don't have it where I can...
Let me restate that. I knew that you had begun recalculating. I didn't know that we had actually begun the process of withholding differently, and we are.
That's okay.
I'm just asking.
When the next payment comes due, I will pay on the collections rather than what we receive. That's my understanding from documentation.
I've just asked Nikki because at our executive session last week, we voted to go ahead and do that formally so that you would have that document.
And
we're asking that you go back to May of last, well, to whenever we began holding the other way until there is a different court ruling or AG's opinion or some other differing legal direction that we should. We receive.
I'd like to have the documentation. I think I got documentation, but if I haven't, I appreciate you guys sending me that shows that your decision on that, because I don't.
I knew we had done that by consensus, but we brought it up in executive session, and we did it formally so that we would have that document.
I knew it was headed my way on whether I got it for sure or not. Okay.
Yeah, I just gave it to Nikki, and she's going to draft that for you today.
Okay.
Because that was brought up, one clarification is those TIF payments through the budget are estimated cost anyway from previous years as we budgeted for the TIF payments.
In the budget, it's estimated because we have no idea how much sales tax is going to be spent.
So as far as the budget report and the amount that affects, there will be no significant... next month is a... as something you might bring forward that we spent that amount, but
Danny, I don't think it will be what I would consider significant. It will be divided between the three funds that have sales tax between general county, between sewer, and between road and bridge.
It's still revenues we were going to spend that we're not going to have at our disposal.
That is true. It's about do you remember what the number was on there, Ron? I want to say $22,000.
It's right here. Yeah, it's $22,000. It's about $1,900 a month.
Yeah.
But my point was it was an estimated figure that we had to put in the budget.
That's the only thing we can put in the budget on, right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No, sir.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Finley.
Ripple Glass.
Let's go to the Ripple Glass Agreement.
I'm going to move that we approve and execute all necessary paperwork for the Ripple Glass Agreement.
Would you please repeat that, sir?
I couldn't if I tried. Ripple Glass Agreement between Taney County.
Mr. Whipple that wrote the Ripple.
What happens is you speak fast.
I'll second that motion, I guess.
For the record, Lynn, we have on file an opinion from counsel. And he approves it as to form. The motion has been made and seconded to approve the Ripple Glass Agreement by and between Taney County and Ripple Glass. Discussion?
This is part of a long process. It's just part of it. It's already been in place they've been collecting the product for some time now, but this is the completion of that.
And what this has done is we created a storage bin at the transfer station so that we have a place that we can recycle glass. So if someone has glass and they want to take it, dump it at the transfer station, they can do so. But this allows Ripple Glass to come pick it up and haul it off, which will save us money in hauling transfer. This won't go to the landfill, so we usually pay for that by weight. There's also a second part grant that Brands is doing that they're going to have drop-off locations within the city that they will collect glass, then dump into this storage bin also, or this bunker, I should say.
Before we vote, Jim, if you will allow your motion and Danny, your second, to be amended to include the city of Branson because they're part of the contract. All in favor of the motion to approve the agreement between Ripple Glass, Taney County, Missouri, and the city of Branson, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
You hold this one, right? You pulled that out.
Yes.
That's being held.
Oh, well, I see that. But did this happen?
Yes. Back on this day.
I understand that, but I must not have been present because I wasn't part of that vote. I was? Was it good?
not enough, I guess.
I don't think so.
Executive session minutes?
Yes.
Do you want to read the dates or just have it a packet and I can exhibit A?
Why don't you read them so we put them in the record?
Okay. Motion to approve executive session minutes dated April 5th, April 9th, April 12th, April 19th, April 23rd, April 25th, April 26th, and April 30th.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve executive session minutes dated April 5th, 9th, 12th, 19th, 23rd, 25th, 26th, and 30th. Discussion? Yes, go ahead, sir.
That may have been what you were talking about. There was one that had hold wrote on it.
That one's back in the...
That wasn't included in the motion.
That wasn't included, and that correct. Was in May.
May of last year.
Yeah.
We're in negotiations.
In negotiations on it. Right. I'm ready.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Here.
Nikki, why don't you take this back since I had that one in there? Thank you.
Insurance broker of record. Mr. Erickson, you can join us if you will, even though I know that we stated we would go through these ourselves because you initiated the search for a broker of record.
Right.
When we went through these, we had received four companies that responded to the RFQ, Acres and Arney, Connell Insurance, Great Southern, and Insurance Source Incorporated. We have had ample time each to go through these. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts about this?
I mean, I've reviewed them. I mean, I had my packet run delivered.
Do you have a motion?
I was waiting to hear discussion here.
I reviewed these. Also checked and could not find where there had ever been an agent of record issued in the past as a vote of record for insurance. So I had some question about that.
Didn't we also have Dixie and Helen? Dixie and Linda look into this, Mr. Erickson?
Yes.
Do we have any recommendations from them?
No.
But you also researched and found no record that there had been a broker of record per se for this insurance that was specifically voted upon.
Correct.
What we did is we went to a request for bids. The County Commission approved a bid and selected a company, correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's where we're at.
Okay.
What did you notice, Ron, looking through them?
Got four companies that are qualified.
Right. I'm going to move that we reappoint Connell Insurance to the broker record.
There is a motion to, could I say appoint more correctly than reappoint, even though he held it as broker,
right.
To appoint Connell as broker of record for liability comprehensive and the other coverages that are included. No second. Is there another motion?
As I reviewed all these, as you stated, all these companies are qualified. I actually visited with our council about a review of these particular companies and what was available as far as coverage, exclusions, who they covered, and the process. I came to a conclusion of one that would have to be looked at as a dual because of not seeing an agent of record as an appointment before. I came to a conclusion of using two companies as instead of the usual one agent of record, because I do not understand that portion of it, why, how that works, unless it goes out for bid for whatever the company would make percentage-wise, or how it would, how you could name off of the qualifications here the separation of the companies on who has qualified and who has not qualified for this, because as far as I'm concerned, all four companies have qualifications to meet the needs. The matter of exclusions, which we are working on at this time with our attorney, with the process of what these insurance companies know that they would be covering when they when we have a claim that turns up that there's an exclusion on. As we reviewed this at the state level when we were there and talked about it, there was one company, none of these, but one company had seven pages of exclusions. So for what I was thinking about proposing, I don't know whether there's a need for more research, whether you can actually do that or not. It has been in the past, I understand, from past records. Two companies involved in the coverage of one county's policy on an individual, whether it be health or liability or comprehensive.
Penny, let me add to your comments just a minute to clarify. What we have asked one of our attorneys to do is to draft a set of specifications for a bid document regarding liability specifically because of the coverages that we've had in the past and because of the exclusions that we have seen through different companies rather than what is included. It's become more of what is excluded. And the fact that some of our coverages has indemnified the county really rather than insuring, I guess if you could say that, so that we have incurred a great number of legal costs up front that the county has had to bear. So we have asked council to draft or some specifications. So whomever it is that we nominate to serve in a priority level, this company number one, or if you're adding companies, I don't know how we're going to do that, but so if you prioritize 1, 2, 3, or if you prioritize 1, 2, or whatever you have in mind, select one company. If we can work with that company in combination, if that's what you're suggesting, with another, then we have to do that. If we can't work with the first company, we go to the second priority, so forth and so on. But in doing that, we're going to have to give the list of specification to whichever company we choose that they draft. Is that correct?
And the thing that brought this to mind was as we went through other bids, and we do other bids throughout the county on a similar basis as prioritizing the bids. Road and Bridge does it on a regular basis. As this is a need for the county in certain circumstances, so is the prioritization of other things. So I have these listed in a priority list. I didn't know whether you wanted me to make a motion on the first two and let those.
I want you to make whatever motion you want to make, and then we'll take it from there.
I have on the first two priority list, number one was ISI, and number two was Acres Insurance.
Are you making a motion to that effect?
That will be a motion.
Can I see the bid specs? I'm not sure. Get a bid spec.
Actually, it was an RFQ. There was a lot of subsequent information.
So the option one we're talking about is the broker record for property and liability is what you're saying. Your option one is ISI first, Acres is your second.
Yes. With the.
Are you trying to combine those two also?
I mean, I guess I don't understand. Is this an even division? Are you saying we're going to negotiate with ISI first and then?
I'm reflecting back to what council said in exec regarding markets and availability, and that's where you're drawing this from, I'm assuming.
The information that was sent on the secondary information that was asked for after we reviewed this the first time made mention of, I won't go into the carriers, but it spoke of no particular exclusions on, without the wording right here in front of me, I hate to state the way that it was in there, but it was like that they considered you covered without a certain limited amount of exclusions, and that's where I made my decision from the wording that was in the secondary information that we received.
I don't understand where Acres plays in this, then, if it's a secondary. I mean, we did a request for qualifications, and we listed as broker and agent, not agents. So I guess I'm confused on where Acres plays in this role. What's their role in this process?
Well, before we have any more discussion outside of a motion, do you second the motion?
Not as it sits, no, sir.
I'll second the motion. Now let's discuss it. What is your... I can understand prioritizing. So if you can't get the deal you want with the first company, you go to the second company.
That's the way that...
And I think that's going to be relevant when Pat provides us with the list of what it is that exactly we're going to bid on.
That all lays within the summary that we'll get from the attorney's list that will be provided, and it'll be provided to way more than just this county. As far as the...
Is it your hope that these two first companies, when you said combine them, would serve as a co-broker yes. of record, if that
if,
agreement
I don't like the, I don't like the term broker of record, but that's if that's the word...
Agent of record.
Agent of record or whatever, that's what we would do. The only other thing that I could see that could possibly work would be a percentage bid of qualifications that that any one company would receive over the amount that's charged to the county. Did you receive the secondary, read through the secondary information, Mr. Travis?
I looked through all the different companies they represent, and basically all represent the same companies. And I think if we're looking, we need to negotiate better with our agent of record what we're looking for. And ISI, Connell, Acres, Great Southern all offer basically the same insurance companies coverage. I mean, they represent most of the same ones. I mean, I was just comparing the two, and so I guess my question is, even though Acres is listed second, they won't have an opportunity on this one because ISI covers the same companies that Acres covers. And if they're and we're basically looking at exclusions that the corporation or the insurance company has, that's not something ISI can negotiate. It's something that from my understanding, it's what the carriers provide. So I understand. I just wanted a clarification on the Acres, and I understand. So I've answered the questions I need.
More discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed to the motion, say nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. Ron, if you will work with Pat Keck and take a look at what she has drafted or what she's going to draft, then have a discussion with her about co-broker of record and a working relationship between ISI and Acres and how that would work. That's what you... Okay. And we'll make it a stipulation, if that's part of what Danny's intent was, that if, in fact, ISI can't do that, then I would assume we move to the second broker of record on the priority list.
Okay. What's your time frame?
Pardon?
Time frame.
I think Pat has that almost finished. on the stipulations, and that's exactly what I would like to see if.
If you could contact her today, just to let her know so that we could start that ASAP. And I want to thank all of the companies for submitting their qualifications in the RFQ. Let's move to the staff departmental update, Road and Bridge. Could you gentlemen join us up front?
Am I clear to put out a bid tab on this results? Because I've had inquiries.
Show me what now? Yeah.
Okay.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, gentlemen. The first item you see, that's what our cost is to date as far as the KDOT project. That doesn't include the guardrail that we still need to do, and that is out for bid. And it also doesn't include the paving section of that. So, but that's our labor and materials.
Right, combined. But that does include, Randy, when you say paving on that, Arkansas Fish and Game is supposed to pave that for us.
Right.
And we should receive funding from them for all the pavement on that project, including all the way to the top of the hill and almost to the park, right?
That was the section they left out, or whenever they were down there working previous to us starting, they left out a section in the middle because they knew we were going to do a fill project there. So. What I need is just a contact number or name. If you guys have one of them,
I would go to Tracy Fancher or John Heiser and ask them for the contact name, and actually ask them for the amount that was subtracted from the their price. They had a cost that was, and that particular section was left out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this discussion back. It's been almost a year ago, hasn't it, since we talked about the KDOT project and Warren Road and met with them out there. And so there was quite a lengthy.
Oh.
So you need to refresh their memory, and we need either them to, when the guardrails put up, we need them to either pave it or provide the funds for us to get it paved, and I would rather it be the second. I would rather that they would send us the funds or give us some documentation, and we can get the job done. They may be a while.
Okay.
I do know that they've started on the Slough Hollow Road, and that's all part of the same deal.
Right. They have started on the Slough Hollow, and actually I think they're contractors want to make a few minor changes with the plan too because of the fill and relationship to the bluff as they fill that. So, and they're going to give us an update on what those minor changes with the project will be. So, but I'll get in contact and try to find out more on this.
I
The second item with the stop signs, one of the aldermen of Forsyth had stopped by the office and asked if he could have our old stop signs.
What do we do with those signs, Randy?
The old stop signs, what we do is we recycle them. Once we get a pile big enough, we take a load. We actually have to send a letter from our office with that load to
the recycling
metal place just to document that they're not signs that have been stolen or anything like that.
What do they need them for?
Do I?
What do they need them for? Are they going to recycle?
Actually, what they're wanting to do, because they don't have the money to replace, they're wanting to use them within the city on some of their off streets. So I told them I would bring it up and ask. But
I mean, unless we made it available to every entity, I think it's just
we can't do that because of the safety regulations that's been applied to size. The rim, the outside has a trim around it.
And there's some, isn't there a new law requiring reflectability?
That's the other thing that we're trying to do is we've started trying to upgrade a lot of our signs with the stop signs, yield signs on most of our heavily traveled roads is where we started. We're putting up the high prismatic, which is a current standard, so I told him I would bring that up.
I agree with Danny. We can't do this.
But that's what we're trying to do with our signs, right, which we're trying to work within a limited budget, so we're going to get as far as we can with it and try to do that. Now, they do have certain size limit on or size, and I don't know if that means we have to meet that requirement. We do have some signs in stock. I don't think they're actually big enough, and so we're going to have a surplus of them that we may have to
do something. If we took something down that wasn't safe and let them put it up somewhere that I just don't.
Well, I know the new ordinance, according to Department of DOT, anything new has to be to the new compliance.
New compliance.
So if we've got a supply of new signs that we haven't put up yet that aren't compliant, we can't put those up as new.
Right. We haven't. Okay. We're trying to avoid doing that. So.
Okay.
But that's what we're trying to do with our sign upgrade. Of course, we can only do so much every year, and we're trying to pick the most heavily traveled roads and upgrade some of these and replace what we can. So
which makes sense.
That's where we're at with that. The next item, Skyview Drive, we've got a drainage problem up there that David and I both went up there and looked at and met with the gentleman, and he can kind of help explain this. We have a house that's recently been built. This area actually drained naturally previously to this, and with the new house going in there and yard work and different things, we have a ponding effect that's been created within the edge of the road and onto the road and part of his yard. So we're trying to help solve this problem. But it's going to create us having to go onto his property to create the natural drainage back like it was, and we've got ditches that drain down to this area, so we need to try to drain this. And what we're asking, if we can work under a temporary construction easement to try to work with this gentleman to try to get our drainage back and make the road a little safer.
I get one question about the thing. Is the house still under construction? Is it done?
It's pretty much done, I think, for the most
part. He's remodeling it. It was built 4 years ago. This guy just moved in.
I mean, have we done something similar to this anywhere else in the county where we've gone on personal property to fix the drainage issue, to fix our roads? I mean, it seems kind of strange that we're going to go on someone's personal property to fix a drainage issue that they may have caused.
I don't know that he totally caused it.
Okay.
It may have been caused by previous developer or owner. He's bought the house basically, and
where's it at, Randy? You took
Skyview up on top, right?
It's up on top of Skyview Drive.
You know where that is, by Chateau area up there?
It's north of where the first stop sign is.
I was going to bring that up. I had it written down, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay. It's just north of that, and it's kind of in a low area dip, and the water's got to go off that side.
I believe that would be something that I would think that before we
entered into anything that would win. It would be a negotiable deal between the county and the, and that private individual that we, you need to look at too, Jim.
Right.
And maybe at least two commissioners go look at the problem before we made a decision on something like that.
How much work are we talking, guys? I'm just curious. Is it a day's worth of work with equipment, or is it a week?
We're probably less than a day, actually. Just
we're just going to reshape some,
creating a small V ditch out on part of the property just to drain it away from the road. Basically, is what we were looking at.
Well, what's the address?
We had a similar situation, Randy. You know, it came up last year on down T Highway, and there was a ditch that the person wanted us to put a culvert in, and that went between two properties and fill that in. I don't want to get involved in any of there are situations to where we would have a work easement upon which we would make improvements if we were working that area or doing something to improve the drainage. But that's one thing that if it's just to do this.
Do you have a conference call at 10?
No.
I don't.
I would say, let me go by and look first before we go forward. I'm going to go by and look at the situation and see. You just gave me the address. I'll go up there and look.
Okay.
And I may either call you and go over there together, or we're just, I think I know the house. I was just up there not too long ago because of two other issues. I think I called you about one of them. The other one is the stop sign issue that I was going to tell you about.
Okay.
Did you find the other issue?
No. I still haven't found it either.
We didn't either.
Okay. The stop sign. Let me ask you the stop sign. That is the wrong use of a stop sign. Is it not? I mean, they use it to...
It is a wrong use for a stop sign, and the other three-way stop kind of makes more sense. That is a county-maintained road that intersects, so that one makes a little more sense. This one's a private drive, and I don't even know if a warning, we could put up a warning sign on both sides of this. It is in kind of a...
Basically says hidden drive or something like that? Is that
what
you're
thinking? Yeah, it's almost a hidden drive. People could pop up over the
up on Skyview, we put stop signs up years ago to slow the traffic down. I mean, that's basically what it was.
That's what it was for.
I mean, and that's not what we're supposed to use stop signs for. Now, that three-way makes sense, but the other one doesn't make any sense.
Well, caution signs.
Is there one on the corner past there?
Do I?
Is there another one on the corner on past?
There's another one on the corner that one is, I'd like to look at that a little more in depth. It's really not signed properly either.
I would like to
stop traffic on a through road. I can see a road intersecting, but to create a three-way stop when one's a through road.
It's over signage versus under.
Yeah.
You're going to look into that then, or you guys?
Yeah.
I get complaints randomly, not all the time, but it's springtime, so I'm getting complaints on it. So.
Okay.
Complaints mean two in the last 10 days. That's, I don't get much many more than that.
The next issue is David's. I told him I'd put it on here. It's our drainage thing on Buchanan we worked on.
Okay.
Yeah, let me look at that. He's wanting us to go. I thought he's just wanting it cleaned up right against the right of way. Wanting us to go down where we built the drainage ditch and fill it back in.
Fill it back in.
Yeah, there's a berm there that
was
built to funnel the water.
You're talking about on the lower side there?
Let's recap
right
something
inside.
On the Buchanan Road. When it was expanded, it called for a culvert to go underneath the road.
Right.
And it was chosen that wasn't going to happen. And so we went on someone's property and built basically an open culvert out of concrete mix down the side of someone's property, which is that correct so far?
Yes.
And so when that property owner finally got a hold of me, he says, why? So we put the culvert in as designed, And I think it's solving the problem, but now they want us to restore the property to original was before we got on their property to do this. So the gentleman wants us to clean that all up along the whole
That's
length of his property.
North side of Buchanan, uh-huh. on the north just side. After you pass the transfer station.
Yes, sir.
It's quite obvious that it's not something we'd ordinarily do when you drive through there.
If we would have put the ditch down through there?
Would we have done the ditch that detailed like that? I mean,
we concreted the ditch down the right-of-way uh-huh. to take care of the water line.
Right.
The water line was exposed when we moved
right.
our ditch to
it. Right.
That's why there's the concrete there. Then where the culvert crosses Buchanan, we turned it, took the water north
right.
on his property. That's why there's a berm on his property to turn the water.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Big
He's wanting that berm cleaned up. The concrete ditch will stay in the right-of-way.
Okay, so the concrete ditch along his property line will stay there. He just wants this.
It's not on his property line. The concrete is on the county right-of-way.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when it goes down the berm. Did we concrete that berm?
There is a little bit poured in there with some riprap.
A little bit right where it first takes
Okay, initially. It doesn't go all the way down.
Pretty much.
Right. Oh, so you're just talking about dirt. Knocking that berm out and just kind of dressing it up right there.
Yes, sir.
Is that more than
That's
a day?
That's what he would like.
But
probably not.
But David, here's what I was going about. Well, here's the whole deal. We've already been asked and visited with Branson Schools about widening of that road out there. And that side of the road is probably the side in that particular area where we try to widen it, would you think?
Which is I didn't know that one's going to, I don't know which would be the least expensive. I mean, we got a 16-inch water main runs parallel to the road. That's reason for the concrete ditch is actually protecting that up on the north side there for a ways. So I don't know which would be the easiest as far as widening.
Well, let's just say it like this. Until we come up with a engineered drawing plan of the widening of that road, I don't think we ought to do anything to it for right now.
Well, the berm is well off the right-of-way.
It's down on private property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we should take the berm out and just clean that up there, the berm that he's talking about, and just be done with it. I've gone and talked to Dr. Hyder and the new CFO about the project, their plans for widening Buchanan, and I'm waiting on them. I mean, Great River's their engineer, and they have not come up with anything that they've shown me of what their plans for traffic flow is. I mean, they're going to increase traffic.
There are times that we have to have county equipment up on private property.
Right.
Through a work easement. But I hate to do something down that far off. Unless it's not what I'm visualizing.
You can't see most of it.
Randy, did we put the berm in there because we didn't put the culvert in originally like should have been done?
I don't know what the original agreement was. It was done about 2001, 2002, somewhere along in there, when they done the construction. And for whatever reason, they decided not to put the cross pipe in. They turned the water and run it down. I don't know whether that's his property line that runs north and south or on his property, but it runs down behind his house.
We've worked on that since then.
We put the culvert in.
This is a big heated discussion back when we did the work there on this project.
If we'd put the culvert in to begin with, would we need the berm?
No, the berm wouldn't have been no need for it.
The culvert was the original plan, I think.
That was on the original plans. That's the reason last year we went in and
right.
installed the culvert.
Right, because that was
because
part of the original.
He was always constantly having a water issue and
that we
debris.
Why don't you get with Great River if they've already got a set of plans? Working on a set of plans. Let's see what they've got.
On the widening of Buchanan, you mean? They're supposed to be working. I mean, I haven't seen anything. In the time being, what about the berm? It's not necessary.
Well, I mean, it's been there for 10 years or 11. Can we wait till...
Yeah, we wait a little longer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, it's been there that long. Why can't we wait till we see what we're going to be doing with the engineering firm?
Okay, I'm going to send a note.
You need us to all, Jim, can you talk to him, or you need us to all sign?
No, I'm going to send an email to Spencer and Mel.
Next item, we found a culvert. This is a rock laid type box culvert that's small. It's on T20 Timber Lake. That the whole bottom is eroded. We found another one. We was looking at that road. We need to do some work with this road as far as a little bit of widening where we can, putting some shoulders on it. But this culvert is going to need to be replaced. So we're going to try to schedule that sometime. I think we already have a culvert in stock for this one, so we won't have to buy one, just scheduling when we can do it. But I'm just bringing
up. You're going to increase the size on it or something?
Hopefully stay with the same or increase it. It's going to take a 36-inch size to be equivalent to what's there.
I can't figure out where it's at.
It'll be the first dip east of the Layton Farm, where Layton's used to live there on that corner. You go in the first dip, and it's that culvert right there. It's a culvert that's laid up out of rock.
It's deteriorated.
It's deteriorated, right? Both ends look fairly decent, but right in the center, there's just no bottom left, and the water's going under. Eventually, it'll fail, and I don't want the road to collapse, so I think it'd be better if we replaced it when we find these. We've been working on to be in compliant before the end of the year on our two-way radio system, and we're still working on how many can be programmed. Several of them will not be able to, so we're going to have to, once we get that answer, we're going to have to bid out and find out who can come and program these and cost the radios, because we're going to have to replace a lot of our older two-way radios, and I want to start with the. I'll get with them.
How many radios you're talking about?
Currently, we have approximately 138 radios within the whole county system, and right now we know 43 can't be programmed. So, however many we actually need, we need to come back with a little better list.
Do we need to put some bids out then?
It'll have to be bid out. That's.
I mean, if you know you're going to have to buy something, might as well get with Ron Erickson now to start working on a bid to.
Right.
That would speed up the process when it's time.
We have about 30 we're still not sure of, but I'm going to assume that at least half of them or more probably won't be programmable. They have to have a certain model number on there to know if they were built after a certain year's time, if they'll be programmable or not.
Okay.
So.
Are all those radios, are they, Jim, you're the tech guy on that part of it. Is all those radios, is there such a thing as having a radio system that worked off the phone with like your two-way talking back and forth through on a radio system other than having a complicated.
This is pretty standard. I mean, this whole thing caused because the FCC changed its banding.
Right.
And part of NACO, when I'm on that vice chair, this is a common problem across the country, is that counties are responsible for upgrading their radios because they're not programmable, and it's a very, very large expense, and some of these counties can't afford to upgrade. And this is what we're experiencing. It's the same problem that everyone else is experiencing.
We did line item budget for this, though, didn't we?
Not on the two-way radios. We would take this out of equipment purchase.
But we did.
When it comes to replacing, and what I plan to do is replace the radios as their budget would allow, and then next year probably.
This is still the best scenario, because it's the most rugged environment. It's still the best, what they're doing. So it's just that upgrade to the right band.
Right, it's something that we got to comply with, or we just shut them totally off and do without them, and that's going to hinder a lot of the work that these guys perform
now,
with them. So.
Some of these, you said that this is an upgrade, but some of these that can't be,
You say there's possible 64. Let me see what you got.
43, would you say?
A lot of these radios were bought when we first installed, and a lot of them are just two-channel radios right. that are too old. They don't have that capability.
Are there any program. Are there any uses for those that somebody, some other entity?
Not really, because they're of no use.
That
basically.
Band is not available anymore.
If you can't program them, nobody else can program them either, so you're basically going to be useless.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so we've got.
You're just going to, what, you're going to have to pitch them? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe we recycle them, but yeah, they're going to be pitched, basically.
Yeah, I don't know that we can even sell
like the utility company or water company
yeah,
or somebody.
The whole reason is that band was sold.
They wouldn't be able to get a license to be on air.
Yeah.
So I guess
the problem.
I can see that kind of waste on it. I guess that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
If there's another way for our guys to communicate out there within the equipment and the trucks, it'd be one thing, but I don't know what that would.
Yeah.
In that environment, the radio's the best environment.
We're gonna start replacing them with the most high priority equipment we need them in is where I would start, and then work our way down to ones that we could probably do without them. And we probably won't replace them if the budget don't allow it. So.
Right. Okay.
Next item, I talked to you gentlemen a little bit about our spray program, and here's kind of an idea I come up with. Starting small, this is a skid type sprayer that goes in the back of a pickup. It's something that that would be the equipment we would buy with different nozzle that we could hand spray around bridge approaches, around guardrail. We'd fix up a nozzle on the right side of the truck that would be able to spray just a certain distance from the truck. The one thing, and I've talked with MoDOT basically on their spray program and how they utilize it, and we would have to get people certified. The last certification date is June, mid-June for this year, and then it will be beginning of the year, 2013, and they have 3-4 times through the spring and early summer that they do recertification on a lot of their people, and that would be in Jeff City. There is a couple other places. I think the closest one may be Columbia to us at this time. I think we can't do it in Springfield to get certified. And I was looking at possibly at least 3 people within the road system.
3 people, 1 setup or 3 setups?
1 setup, but
3
people, 1 at each shop, and they share this equipment throughout the county, because what we were figuring up, what we need to spray, I mean, we're talking less than $5,000 to set up a small spray program to do spot spraying throughout the county in different areas, and then we can build upon that. So,
well,
I'm sorry, Danny, go ahead.
I would rather that you would look at it. This is basically a hand sprayer with one nozzle for a spraying alongside the truck.
Right.
I would rather that you would look into a program, certification, go ahead and get them, because I'm 100% for whatever we're doing. This, I'm not for this. I want something, if we're going to have a spray program, that is that we utilize and we take the cost of the mowing away from one. A round of mowing is going to more than pay for what you're doing with a spray outfit, and you can spray with it and not have to have the labor. And this thing here is no more than, much more than what an expensive cattle sprayer is. And I'm more interested in even a vehicle style.
You're talking more like a MoDOT. I'm talking starting small with that, basically, with what we have in the equipment budget, but if you're, you want to wait and do something like that, that would be something we'd need to spec out.
What's a setup like that going to cost?
That right there, you're looking at probably $2,300.
No, what's the cost for the larger machinery that he's talking about?
I have no idea.
Can
I
you could, come back to us
I can
with
come
that?
Back to you with that. I would check with MoDOT, see what. But they're talking about at least I think it's a ton and a half type vehicle with a tank on it. It's their spray rig that we've seen, ton. That size type vehicle plus all the pump and apparatus and tank.
It does have a special air conditioning system to make sure it doesn't get the product back in the air.
But they have a type of spraying that will spray, you know, tree limbs, different things within the right of way.
Here's where I'm going. We're making right now, I think we're doing three rounds a year.
Sometimes we can get three rounds, sometimes a little more.
MoDOT's just doing less than they're doing one. And
right.
Sometimes if it's the location, I followed them the other day, they're just spraying mainly Johnson grass or some quick growth stuff. That's all they're spraying.
Right.
If we're going to do countywide, and we could cut down to one time a year, we could pay for this whatever machine that we decided to put into place in 1 year's time of the cycle. If we cycled the county with a spray equipment and cut it one time, we could spray the whole. We could pay for this equipment in 1 year.
Is this going to require us to get some hazard insurance because we're talking about chemicals now? I mean, I heard some counties outsource it now because the insurance is so crazy for this, crazy high.
Right. That's the other. All the spray that MoDOT uses, none of it's a restricted spray.
Jim,
they're pretty careful what they do, but I'm sure they. I didn't ask the questions about insurance or liability and that type of thing.
I thought about what you're saying. As much as this looks attractive, as far as buying it because of the cost, the same insurance is going to be involved, the same certification is going to be involved, everything's going to be the same except for the equipment.
Right.
And the actual savings on dollars of fuel for the tractors and the mowers and all those kind of things.
Would you put together a package, work with Danny on what he's referring to, and give us an idea of what the cost of that is?
Well, this may be something we may want to look at beginning of next year to try to bid it out and work on it this year, because it's almost too late for this year unless you want to move forward. But I do know that MoDOT sprays a lot of retarders.
If we move forward, we can take it out of the... If that's what you want to do, is a contingency line.
Okay.
That's what those funds are for.
My other question, just throwing out spraying also, is obviously with the Taneycomo, the watershed, Table Rock, make sure we take that in consideration, because there are certain areas we can't spray or we shouldn't spray, because then all of a sudden we're in, we're open. I see the benefits. There's also some risk associated, so I want to make sure that we're weighing everything.
I didn't even consider it until I seen MoDOT doing it.
Right.
Because out of all these other things you're talking about, until I seen them going down the roads and these side roads. And I think, David, I thought you brought that up to me, you and David Lowry.
Mr. Lowry did, yeah.
The spray situation 3 or 4 years ago. And I didn't even consider it at that time because of all this. But if MoDOT's getting by with it and they're using the right... I mean, we use the same chemicals that they're using and everything. I think it's a big saving. Have we already been around once with our mowers?
Not completely around.
Not completely.
I have not.
They're on their first round, basically.
Well, I want to move forward. I just want to be sure we move cautiously.
Well, I know when Mr. Hayes looked for that, we were only thinking of guardrails and bridges.
Bridge approaches, places we couldn't get our mowers into.
Yeah.
That's
now that he knows,
kind of
he
where
can
we
were
starting
with
it. So.
He looked at that one for guardrails and bridges only.
We may still need that. Well, I guess we probably won't.
These are constant maintenance things right here. Absolutely. You'll be working on it every year
the pumps, the rollers, the whole shooting match. Been through that all my life with using that type of situation right there.
Okay. Okay. We talked about signs already, haven't we?
Yeah, I've basically talked about that. The other, Kathy's been working on this one bill, and this has to do with the tire recycling.
Yes, sir.
She has still working on trying to get three quotes and has not had very good luck at trying to get three other quotes in this. People is not responding back. So we're not sure what direction you want us to go. And this has to do with the tar recycling. And currently, I think we're paying $2 a tar. And she had one guy said he would do it for $1.50 a tar, but he doesn't have a tractor-trailer type box. It would be a smaller trailer type thing that we'd have to come every day.
I think just the phone bids, the only thing I was talking about is for this one specific invoice.
Yeah.
And you talk to Mr. Erickson, if we can't get bids, we still need to pay the bill. But we need to go through our due diligence. So I would say have Kathy talk to Mr. Erickson about that.
Okay.
And if he says what she's done is adequate, then let's pay the bill and go on.
Well, she's tried since April to try to get three quotes on this. It's been very unsuccessful. So.
He's gone through a lot of training. Let's see if there's
right,
a way to...
I'll have her get with him
please.
On that.
MoDOT has some availability on that because we got some tire stuff for the parks. As a matter of fact, one of those park companies, we can find out where they're getting their stuff ground up for the rubber mat. And MoDOT, I think, are using ground tires and some of their road materials.
Right. They're experimenting. Mm-hmm. I think they're also experimenting with glass, too, I think, at this point, too.
So. Okay.
Before, you have an executive session.
Yeah, the other is about a 10-minute question.
Okay, before we go to that, can we talk about road petitions?
Yes.
Okay. We basically put a moratorium on for the last 18 months of taking roads in, except for a critical situation. And one of the questions I have for road petitions is, years ago, when Frank was still here, we kind of got a ballpark of what it costs to maintain a chip seal road or what it costs to maintain an asphalt road and all that. Are we to a point now, when we stopped it, Danny, if you remember, we were spending way more than we were bringing in from a revenue perspective. It seems like we're putting things back in perspective. I'd sure like us to consider setting up some roads to take in. I mean, we have a lot of petitions. I know, Randy, because I've got some more phone calls over the last 30 days about, are we ever going to take roads back in? You know, and some of these roads wouldn't cost as much except for some snow removal because the roads are in fine shape. You know, and there's some, we can do some intelligent decisions and bring in some roads both on the east side and the west side. And I just wanted to bring it up to the commissioners to say, can we start considering lifting that process, at least start looking at roads.
But we can, and one thing that we've done, though, Jim, and it's just one that, like, I would be bringing up, is the county roads that we've got that we have had to expend funds on improving. I mean, we had some narrow roads. I'm going to bring up Birmingham again this morning. We've got a big project there in widening Birmingham Road down past where the fairgrounds is going to be right down to the end. And we have done, because we're broadcasting this, because of what we're saying here is the road and bridge tax dollars are being used for improvements of roads instead of taking in of roads.
Right.
And so I'm with you as far as taking in some more roads. We went through a process of evaluation. And we took so many miles of road that we thought we could take in, and then we took in the roads that would meet those qualifications with the least amount of dollars spent and
right.
try to get the most miles right. out of the bucks. And so I'm for that if you can, and I think you helped prepare that last time.
And there's some roads right now.
A list of roads, as I think back, you know, there was roads that cost $2,500 to get them ready, and there are some that cost $25,000.
Well, and I say, we could prioritize them if we wanted to even look at costs. There's some roads that would cost very little for us to take in that then we can continue to show the citizens that we're
right.
both taking roads in and maintaining the roads. I mean, there's right. a balance there because of the sales tax that we have, that we collect, that people are expecting us to take some roads in on an annual basis. And there's some roads that make sense to bring in because they aren't going to cost much. And there's some that we really need to look at from, like you said, cost. But I didn't know if we could maybe next week or a week after maybe just sit down and have a road discussion about the petitions.
Well, no, we got a pretty good stack of them.
I know
you've
been
sitting there for
a year and a half, a
couple of years, yeah. and a couple of them you guys were going to go look at. One subdivision in comes to mind. We do have work planned in that subdivision here shortly. That's one of the petitions.
Well, what I would say is that what I'd like to do is, if you guys are open to it, commissioners, let's have a road petition meeting about at least go through every road on paper and say, and hear what Randy's done, because haven't you prepared some sort of
I do a report on every road that's petitioned, and I put in there an estimated cost at what it would cost to bring it up to a reasonable standard.
Okay.
I don't have an objection to having a general discussion about this, but I wish that we would finish the two-month project we've been on regarding salaries and benefits
sure.
before we make a decision to spend those funds.
Fair enough.
And that's fair enough, Ron. Another thing that Randy brought to mind here, and that has to be in this conversation, he brought up, and I'm assuming it's the same subdivision that I'm thinking it is, the curb and gutter, and it goes to what Jim says, the curb and guttering that's in that particular area,
yeah.
we could do miles and miles of chip and seal road and take roads in just for what it would take to replace the curb and guttering in that area. So that's what we need to evaluate.
We do.
The biggest service to the citizens with the more miles that we can get. Plus, Ron, what we've talked about as far as the salary discussion.
I would agree. We need to look at in certain. I know what neighborhood you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Those that's a very expensive project.
That's fixed. That's
plus some liability issues that we may be inheriting. So, once again, that's part of our general discussion. I'd like to at least have from that perspective.
I have one question. Down at Kazee Mills Park, we used to have a dumpster in there years ago, a trash dumpster, and everybody that camped there or whatever would put their trash in the dumpster, and then we quit it. Any possibility we could get back?
No, it needs to be done. And I've talked to these two gentlemen that there needs to be one put at KDOC, and there also needs to be one put at Kazee Mills, because there is some trash that's being put there. And we got some people watching both places, with actually some Ranger stickers on the sides of their trucks. So I think small dumpsters is something that would be something that they could use at those locations. And
that'd be wonderful. Because people was pretty good about putting it in the dumpster when we had it there.
Mm-hmm.
We have barrels there now. I send men down twice a week, and it's just time-consuming.
And clean up.
You all take care of that?
Yeah.
Yes?
We mow and we take
No, the no, trash. I meant the dumpsters.
Oh, the dumpster, yes. We'll find that information.
I think those locations.
You're not ready for the one at KDOC Park yet, are you?
I think we are for daylight, daytime use.
Okay.
We can put some restrooms. Or
is Rick here for the prioritization?
Down there strapping.
You're probably here for prioritization, aren't you?
My question was if we want to move to that before, but that's an answer to me.
Everybody's here for prioritization, too.
Oh, okay. Can we do this and then come back to the exec session?
Yeah, I don't
know what it is.
Can we just recess for a minute? We can find out what those exec sessions about, and then that way we can see if we can move it or if it'll take 5 minutes.
Yeah, these guys are here. This is about the same thing, transportation. So,
Randy, we're going to be a few minutes, and my point was, if we're going to be a few minutes, we could go to whom the others are.
Yeah.
I'm starting to sound like somebody else. Cover the other issue first. How long will it be, the issue that you have, sir?
No more than 10 minutes.
What are your druthers, Jim?
I have no idea what it's about, so, I mean, if you want to do some executive right now and then come back at 10:30 with the prioritization, then? If it's 10 minutes, we're going to hold you to it.
Let's do that, yeah.
All right.
Motion to go to executive pursuant 610.021.3 personnel.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to 610.021 subsection 3 personnel. All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Jim aye.
Ron aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries.
And we'll be back on 10:30, right?
Yes.